You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
It's 10:30 and time for our Motor Zone with James Donaghy from JSJ Motors. Good morning, James, and welcome back.
Yeah, morning to everybody. I hope everybody had a good festive season.
Yes.
And nothing too spectacular that happened to anybody.
For many, it's compliments of the season.
Yeah, compliments and
for the rest
complaints.
Of us, it's complaints of the season.
School goes back, I think, tomorrow.
Oh, yes. The teachers are going to now.
They back there already.
They went a week before.
Oh, yeah. They've got to get everything prepared for everybody.
So the parents are somersaulting and excited, and poor teachers are going to go grey.
fetching school books, fetching the clothes and everything, and the cost has just gone up. And unfortunately,
it's scary.
Talking about it.
My heart goes out for any of the parents
the
today.
The new ones
that's
are starting.
Children.
You know, they're starting grade 00 and then whatever.
Right.
And then my daughter's in matric now, so hopefully last year.
Half a year.
She's ready. So she's in doing her thing. Already back at school doing water polo.
Your daughter's in matric, my youngest grandchild is now just starting grade 8, so yes.
Yeah, so they're all starting, you know, somewhere along the line, and it's we just got to carry on with everything.
Yes.
Like I say, I hope everybody had a festive season and a good season, and I hope they didn't have any major car problems and things like that. Like we were talking just now, there was something on Buyer's Guide. We were talking about tyres, and maybe we'll get the guys from one of the tyre places coming to have a chat about tyres.
Yes, I think so.
Because it's interesting. I was watching them. I don't know much about tyres. I got a certain idea, but I don't know a hell of a lot. I got certain things with mileage, years, manufacturing dates and things on the side of the tyre. There's a lot to look at. And I reckon as well, it's the lifespan of your tyres, 7 years.
Also, it depends how much driving you
do. Yes, but if you, yeah, a lot of people don't do a lot of mileage. Like the one guy was saying, he did 13,000 Ks, but the car was 7 or 8 years old. Those tires go, they start to perish because of the moisture in the air that's in the tires, and that's why the
So that's why I think you're quite correct.
We'll try and get someone in 2 weeks' time. Let's talk about that because it's interesting, especially, you know, look, I know everybody, no one's got money, but maybe they'll, I think next week's payday. I think a lot of people
get
back there.
Say no more.
So I thought, I thought I'd bring something quite up again a bit. We've mentioned a couple of times, but this is more the maintenance on certain vehicles. So I was going to talk about, you know, a lot about timing belts. I've mentioned it quite a bit.
That's important, though, James.
You don't know how much it is, especially with the modern cars.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of difference in the timing belts. I'll go through a couple of things here. Like they say in the piston engine, either you've got a timing belt or cam belt, timing chain or timing gears. Timing gears and chain, they take a certain amount of friction. So it's not that bad. But that just ensures that the synchronization between the valves and the pistons are incorrect. Most piston engines, the camshafts are mechanically connected to the crankshaft, and the crankshaft drives the camshaft via belt, timing chain, or gears, which in turn actuates the intake and exhaust valves. These valves allow the engine to inhale air or air-fuel mixture and exhale exhaust gases. The most common devices to transfer the drive are toothed rubber belts, metal timing chains, or gear sets.
Now, when you say two rubber belts, what does that mean?
No, a timing belt. So a tooth rubber belt. Sorry, I said that wrong. So a tooth rubber belt is your timing belt.
Is that the timing
belt?
That's
the timing belt. But now there's different types of timing belts. And I'm not getting into all the details, but there's different type of timing belt. So you've got an external timing belt that sits on the outside. It's covered normally by a cover, and that's done to atmospheric things, moisture, etc., etc. Then the latest ones that a lot of the guys have gone into is the what we call the wet timing belt. So Ford, Opel, VW have got it. There's very few, but they do. Peugeot, Citroen, and even Honda now.
So we're talking about the newer cars.
What they call the wet timing belt. It runs in engine oil.
Okay. And what is the Datsun Go?
Yours has still got a chain.
Okay.
You got to find out these things. The reason I'm bringing these tooth belts into it, I think, okay, what I'll do is as well is just tell you that a lot of the cars were designed, 70s, 80s started coming out with timing belts, Fiat, Alfa, BMW, what else was there? Who else? And then VW, the type of the Golfs, and then you had your old Fords.
Oh,
as well.
Yes, my favorite, my favorite.
So that, I think it was designed in 1954, the first time in Baltimore, a guy named Devon Panhard in America. He was the one that brought this brilliant idea to things to get away from timing chains. And the Americans used the timing gear, still do, on their big V8s and with chains. But the chains, same as a timing belt, stretch. And your difference between your timing belt, you can have a look at it. You can take the cover off and you can have a look and see what it looks like. And also give you a service interval of where and what you, how much mileage must do to change it. A timing chain, they don't. Timing chain, you've got to hear if it stretches, it rattles. So when you start the engine, if it, the rattling will yell is grrr and then it goes away. That's the oil pressure building up on the timing chain tensioner. And that takes attention away.
So that's
a normal. Some cars have it a little bit longer. Yeah. But when it starts to get prolonged, like within 2 or 3 seconds, it's there and it's gone, it's fine. But when it starts 5 seconds, a little bit longer, go and have it checked out.
So it's giving you a warning.
It's giving you a warning, yes.
You know.
Problem lies is with that, you could have an engine management light that'll come on with a timing chain normally to get stretched on the latest ones because they're not talking about a lot. They're talking about 5, 6, 7 millimeters of stretch, which is, you think it's a lot, but it's actually not a lot. Like a motorbike chain stretches, you can adjust it.
Yes.
The timing chain tensioner is like a hydraulic, it's a hydraulic push. It pushes the timing chain to with a guard. That will take up the play. But when that play is now gone over and above it, what they normally call is timing coloration between the time, correlation. Between, it'll tell you, timing correlation between number one cylinder, whatever, is out. Engine light will come on, engine performance will drop because they don't want you to bend valves.
So when that light comes on, you need to stop your car.
You don't have to stop your car, but it won't allow you to go fast. You'll have to go into have it. There's a lot that can cause it.
If you don't hear or you see, if you don't actually take notes, that can cause extreme damage.
Yeah. The reason they do that is because the engineers have designed things with such a little tolerance. There's, like I say, you take your finger, you measure 5, 6 millimeters, it's not a lot. But on an engine, when your piston is going up to try and miss your valves, with the variable camshafts that they've got variable valve timing, they even make it better. It's like having a modified cam. Years ago, we used to say, okay, we're going to modify the car, we're going to modify the camshaft. Now that does it for you with oil pressures and sensors and things that adjust it back and forth. So the tolerances are very, very fine, and it's got to make sure that the piston doesn't touch the valve and et cetera and cause problems. So what they do is that engine light will come on, and there's certain things the guys will check, how much of the rattling. You can hear the thing will rattle. And some of the timing chains sit in the front of the engine. Some of the timing chains sit in the back of the engine. So between the engine and the gearbox, so the engine, gearbox, everything has to get dropped, split in half, and then they get to it. It's a big, big job, and it costs a lot of money. Your dry timing belt, like your normal timing belt that we're talking about that sits outside, atmospheric pressure, gets covered by covers, that's a little bit easier to do depending on which car. If you've got an Alpha, I think what is the other one? Alpha, normally, Alpha, Fiat, they're extremely difficult. You need timing. You need special timing tools. Most of the cars, you need special timing tools to do everything.
Yes.
Even the timing chain, you need special timing tools. If you don't have these timing tools, don't even try it because you are looking for problems. Because a lot of them have at the bottom on the crankshaft a gear that has normally has a little pin to keep it in line. Nowadays, what they do is they use friction. It's a press fit. So when you tighten the bolt, that bolt tightens onto the crankshaft and keeps it locked in place so it won't move. So if you don't have the special tools, don't even try it. You'll have to take it to a specialist with the tools to do it. That you've got to be careful of.
All right, James, good morning, RJS. Hi, Peugeot 208. We have a drop valve, and when I open the tap, cover the cam followers were dry. So oil in the sump, but cylinder head area very dry.
Yes.
Have you heard of this, and why is there no pressure alone? It's a BMW engine, low pressure alarm.
Dirt. So what happens is a lot of times, look, there's a little bit not enough information, but normally what happens is because in the latest engines, what they call the EGR, exhaust gas recycling. That contaminates the motor. And if insufficient service, what happens is that oil goes like gunge and causes a baking type. It's so difficult. You have to sit there with a chisel or a hammer and a screwdriver to try and get this baked stuff off the tappet cover, and it goes into the engine. So what happens is the engine sump starts to pick this up on your oil filter at the bottom where your where the oil is saturated. It's got a very, very fine sieve, and that takes a bit of the dirt out. That's what your oil filter is also for. It gets blocked. It gets oil starvation, and it doesn't allow the oil to get to the top of the cylinder head and can cause camshaft seizure and can cause total engine seizure as well.
So I hope that answers your question, and thank you. Thank you for for coming through.
But yes, we've heard of all these things that does happen. So you've got to make sure that your oil, if you come up and you have an oil light flashing, stop. Oil light flashing doesn't mean you must go and put oil in the car. It means you've got to make sure, number one, we'll check the oil, but if the oil's full, don't drive anymore. What happens is the oil's trying to look, it's trying to get that oil through to the engine. And if you take two surfaces and you rub your hands, if you rub your hand, it gets hotter and hotter. Put a little bit of oil in between there, and you can rub as long as you want to. This is what your oil is doing to your bearings between the two surfaces. It's trying to just keep a bit of lubrication there. You take the lubrication away, it's going to burn, and it's going to get hot, it's going to seize. And it seizes.
So when that light comes on, stop.
Stop.
Okay, and then call for roadside assistance.
Roadside, you cannot do much. And this is what we'll get to. I was going to mention this type of thing in a couple of minutes. Like the wet belts. Now, the wet belt was designed by, I don't know who. I just feel it's a little bit too much. But it saves 1% of friction. That's why they designed it. So they ran the timing belt in engine oil. So it's a sealed off thing. Like I say, Ford have got it on certain vehicles, Citroen, Peugeot, Opel, and VW. People say, but VW don't have it. They have a timing chain or a timing belt. They have a timing belt that's outside or whatever. Even some of the cars that have got a timing chain behind the cover, they've got a wet oil pump drive belt. And that's what you've got to find out. So only when you can take the sump off can you see this. This is something I saw the other day. It was on the Skoda and something else, but it's also VW. It's still a VW engine. So they've got to make sure on that as well. If that goes, can cause premature problems. So look, the guys that designed this belt to drive in the engine oil said it would last over 200,000 kilometers. I think I mentioned this
before. Yes, you did. Yes.
And what happens is people haven't been servicing their engines properly or been leaving it prolonged, not putting the correct oil in. This is what they reckon is the biggest problem is that the guys not putting the correct oil into the Ford engines, and it's causing premature wear on these wet timing belts. So they came down from 200,000 to 200,000, and it's now if you have EcoBoost, it's called the EcoSport, the EcoBoost, little 1,000cc three-cylinder, that's got a wet timing belt. 100,000 Ks, I would recommend changing it, even if you took it to the agents for all the services. New Ford Rangers have it. The new Ford Transits have it as well, and they are both extremely big jobs as well. Find out from the agents if you've got a Ranger. Does it cover under maintenance plan? How long does a maintenance plan go on? When does the wet timing belt have to be replaced? Because I know if you've got a Ford Ranger 4x4, it is one hell of a job to do. And I've been watching this on YouTube, and certain guys that do it, and they will tell you the guy does so many of them. He's like, he says a Ford Transit, he's saying. But what happens is this timing belt starts to disintegrate. So it's the little pieces come off. And it goes into the engine oil, and it gets sucked up by the oil pump on the sieve, the little steel wire mesh.
Yes.
And it blocks it off, and the oil light comes on. So if you've got one of those vehicles and the oil light starts, it'll start to flash occasionally. You'll start to flash. Do yourself a favor. Get it to the garage as quick as possible for them to check this wet timing belt. So what will happen is, because if it blocks, you're going to have total engine seizure. And you're going to have a new engine. And this is what the guys have been doing, is replacing engines on these vehicles. Where it can be saved. If you see this oil light, and I'm just telling you now, if you see the oil light flash, stop. Or if it's flashing or come on, stop It's not about the level of the engine oil. It's that the engine is getting no oil pressure. There's a little switch. So what happens is as soon as you get oil, it cancels that little switch, and then that's it. Yeah. Then you know you've got oil pressure.
And all makes of vehicles do have an oil light.
Every
so that's the warning.
Yeah. Every single car. So when you see it turn on ignition in the morning, you'll see a little oil vent, yes, a little oil can. That's it. So when the oil pressure goes out, even as soon as you start your car, and that's another thing you can look at. If the timing chain starts to stretch and you see how long that oil light goes to take out, you can also count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If it gets to 5,
and it's still on.
And it's still on, it's taking too long. So what's happening is those bearings are starting to run dry. There's not enough oil. It's got to be very, very quick to get to the crankshaft, the two surfaces, so the surfaces can lubricate one another and go from there. So number one, service your vehicle on time. If you're over 100,000 Ks, every 10,000 Ks, service it. Don't go, and people will tell you, go by manufacturer specifications. Do not go prolong it. So 15,000 Ks, with the oils that we're using and the fuels that we're using, if you have a good oil, perfect. But I would recommend, number one, 10,000 Ks. Number two, every year, once a year. Doesn't matter how much mileage you can do it once a year. Keep your oil going. Oil is the most important thing as well. You know what it's like. If you keep your body fed with good stuff, it's going to last long.
You won't squeak.
You won't squeak, yeah. So be careful on these wet timing belts because they can cause major problems. And they're great. The Peugeot one is the 1.2 PureTech petrol engine. That's found in the Peugeot and Citroen models. They are out here. And they actually do as well. I'm not sure what they are, but close to also about 100,000 Ks. So be careful because, like I say, these belts can do. I can't stress enough, but find out before you buy one of these vehicles when the timing belt has to get done. What is the cost incurred to do it? Because that's what a lot of people. I remember years ago when BMW brought out their 320s and the 323s. That was the first real yappy car. It was a fantastic little car. Had plenty of power. It had a timing belt. Had to get done at 80,000 kilometers. Had to get done. If you didn't do it, you'd go down the road. It would snap or just rip the teeth off. And because it was such a big specialist job, it would cost a lot of money to fix. People didn't have the money to fix the cars. They would take it to someone to fix who never knew anything about them. And end up causing more problems than anything else.
Years ago for myself, I had an XR3.
There's another one.
And driving quite happily down Kuiberg Road. And then the next minute, I just said it, and the car cut out. Now, unbeknown to me, I should not have tried to start the car. Because that's where. But I did. If now you want to know what's going on.
4204.
And, well, it had to be towed. And those days, there wasn't any, rollbacks. And things like that. It was towed with rope, take it forever. And it did cost. It cost dearly at that because it had snapped. So
it was
I learned
a lot
that.
Of money.
It was, at those years, it was a lot of money as well. So and then I heard it was the cam belt. They called it cam belt.
But no one knew about these things. They never warned you.
No.
But 40,000 Ks, it's either 40,000 Ks or 5 years. Work on the timing belt. I think the later ones go to 7 years or 8 years. The guy can tell you they go into the system and they check how many years it is before the timing belt has to get done. Or other cars last over 200,000 Ks. And this is the external one, not the one that's in the oil.
Yes.
So they do last long depending on how they make them. And where they're situated. But the Fords, like the Ford, had the XR6 and the little Escort.
Yeah.
40,000 Ks, you had to change that.
And you see, I didn't know
that. No one knew it. No one told you.
No, it cost you
money.
I didn't, but I learned fast.
Oh, yes. the BMW as well. The BMW had the 320 and the 323, the M20 motors. That had to get done at 80,000 Ks. And if you didn't know how to do it properly, you had the fan in the front, that had a big left-hand drive nut. And people didn't know how to do this. Even the Land Rovers, you've got to strip so much to get to the front of the timing chain, the timing cover, and the timing cover is a big aluminium cover. Take that off to get the belt done as well. So a lot of people don't do it because they don't know where it's situated and how much it costs and things like that.
But you shouldn't fiddle what you don't know. No. Rather let it get done properly.
Well, that was the problem with the BMWs that we found. We took it to the guys, and when they took their heads off, that was the start of these guys making wiring harnesses that actually only went in one way and only came out one way. Extremely easy to strip if you knew what you were doing because you had the training to do it. would take it to the guys that weren't used to it. So they were used to the carburetors, and the guys used to fiddle with the fuel injection systems and break them more than what they fixed them, because they didn't have the tools to do it. They just took a chance. And that was the phrase big backyard mechanic came from. And the problem was, if they didn't do it properly, it would cost money. Like I said, the BMW 320, 323, 325, they had timing belts, 80,000 Ks. Then they had the 318 that came out later with the black bumpers, was called the M40 motor. That had a timing belt as well. 40,000 Ks, you had to do the timing belt. You didn't do the timing belt, that would strip as well and bend valves. And it was quite common on things. You don't go over 40,000 Ks, boy. And if you did, it's gone. I can get into you because it's happened to a lot of people. Your Opel Corsas, they also got the timing belt. And the Astra's, the 1800, the Astra's a little bit more, also close to between 80 and 100, but the Opel Corsa 1400 and the 1800, 75,000 Ks do it, because that also breaks it. But you've got to remember as well, you've got to do your water pump as well on these certain cars, because the water pump is part of the adjustment on the timing belt. So if you take it off, it's quite an awkward one. It works in like a concentric type adjustment, and you've got to have, and it's got a little gauge that sits on the tensioner. You've got to adjust the water pump to get that right. You don't have that right, either make it, it's going to whine, or it's going to be too loose. And if it's too loose, it's going to do premature wearing. Same if it's going to be too tight. So yeah, there's a lot to go on with it, but you don't need special tools for it. You just need special sockets.
And you've got to know what you're doing.
Yes, yeah. Look, a lot of people, I think, got used to it now, and things like that. But like, if you're going to do something like that, and you, like, I can't stress enough about these, the wet belts on the Ford Rangers and the new Ford motors, go and check about it, because it can cost anywhere. When you buy a car, you think it's going to last long. I don't know what the service plan is up to, maybe 100,000 Ks or 5 years. That's normally about it. And that's normally after that when it has to get replaced.
There you go.
So before you buy a second-hand vehicle,
do your homework
and find out, like the EcoBoost. The little EcoBoost is a fantastic little motor. It goes well. It's got a bad reputation because they call it EcoBombs, but it's because the wet timing belt premature breaks and strips and has no oil pressure and ends up having a new engine. Now, it's 70 or 80,000 Rand to get another engine fitted to the vehicle. I know for a fact it's going to probably cost you about 14, 15,000 Rand to have the timing belt done. It's still cheaper than buying another engine.
So, yes.
And there are certain places that are selling the specific oil for that engine. So if you got one and you want to do a service by yourself and you want to do an oil change by yourself, get the oil. Buy the oil filter and get the correct oil. Make sure it is for the Ford EcoBoost motors. That is specifically, I don't think you can get it at garages. So if you need to top up, there are certain places, I think Goldwagen's got. So Gold, but I think they're selling in 5 liters. Goldwagen's got specifically for the Ford. So if you have a Ford and you want, go down, buy that Ford oil. It is specifically made for the wet timing belts. Don't put the normal mineral oil in. It's like putting a tablespoon of diesel into water. That will contaminate the whole water. So even if you put mineral oil into 5 liters of engine oil, you put the wrong oil in, it's going to contaminate it. It's going to mix with it. It's going to cause a problem. So make sure that if you put the oil in those Fords, and I'm not running Ford down. I'm just saying, to me, it's a waste of time. But it's money for us as mechanics and for the garages, but it's going to cost you, the consumer, at the end of the day. Make sure you get the correct oil and you service it on time. Try and just prolong the life and find out if the guys can do it, because there is a lot of special tools that is involved in it. You need those special tools to do it. I mean, the crankshaft bolt is astronomically tight. It is tight, and I'm... You need a torque multiplier to take it loose, or a very, 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 very big power bar and a strong one or two people. So yeah, I'm not stressing. This, it's tight.
Yes.
And if you want to go and do it, if you want to see what it involves, go onto YouTube and you can put their wet timing belt replacement. There's a couple of guys that actually do YouTube videos on it. In the UK, the one guy is a young guy. I think he's about 30. And boy, this guy does maybe – two or three in a week.
Really?
And he just, he says he gets so used to it, he just goes, it's become second nature because they're used to it, and you got, and it's easy. You know, it also needs the special timing tools, and he tells you, you've got to turn the motor about 14, 15 times. And he says it gets tiring, and before everything lines up, you put the pins in, and you've got to take the covers off. Now, these covers cannot be reused. They've got to be replaced because it's a thin timing cover, and they, as you take it off, they put like a silicone around it.
And on what vehicles is this?
Oh, on the Fords.
On the Fords?
On the Fords.
So you cannot reuse the front covers.
The cover gets bent. Because of the silicone, so you have to force it off. So it's a new, it's a money.
So where does one go to
purchase?
Only can
get it from Ford. Only from Ford. I don't know if anybody else is going to start bringing them in, but you get timing chain kits, so they'll include. Then you got to get the special silicone for it. It's a special silicone. You got to get the cover. You got to, sometimes you can use the sump, sometimes not. So there'll be a new sump guard, new sieve for the oil pump. New belts, new tensioners.
So this is why it's become so costly, because yes, you've got to replace the cover. Not just the belt. Oh.
Whereas the plastic outside timing belt's got a cover, you take the cover off, unbolt it, put it back, whatever. Well, now these ones, you've got to take the silica, you've got to get that off, then you've got to undo all the silica, and I think cleaning takes probably 2 hours just, you know. So these people don't realize it, how much you, it's easy enough to say, I'm just going to replace the timing belt, then I'm going to put a cover on, new cover on. It's the gunk that stays behind. So you spend another hour with a scraper and whatever trying to get this rubbish that's off the, where they've sealed it. Then you've got to clean the sump out if you're going to reuse it and clean it. So it's time consuming that you don't actually see.
So that is hours of labor that gets added to the bill.
To the bill. Someone's got to pay for it, and it yes, won't be the mechanic. Yeah. You've got to do your due diligence. Go and find out about these things before you purchase the vehicle. So if you're going to buy a Ford Ranger, the new shape, or Ford Transit for your company, find out when the timing belt must be replaced. What is the cost of these timing belts? Especially if you're maybe starting a new business for interest, and you're going to buy these vehicles. So it's brilliant.
Yeah.
But you don't want to get lumped with a 50,000 Rand repair bill at some stage. I'm just forcing this out here. But if you need a new, say it does break or does disintegrate, seizes the motor, it's going to cost you more than 50,000 Rand. And it's something that could, as quick as you built it up, can sink you straight away.
Yeah.
So this is just my suggestion, be careful.
Well, I'm putting this out, it's very important. I'm glad you made mention of this, especially all our listeners that have Fords, all different kinds of Fords.
Opals, and
Opals. Is it the same story with Opals?
Opals
that you
as well can do the same thing.
So you can't replace, you've got to purchase.
The Opals, the Citroens and the Peugeots, they've got, that you don't have to, sometimes you do have to take off the sump if it's contaminated to get to everything, but I think you can reuse that one. But and they don't have to take off all the covers. So their covers can be reused.
Okay.
But you still need special tools to lock everything down to get to it.
Yes.
It's still time-consuming, but it's not as time-consuming as other vehicles. But you still got to be careful. So if it starts to get over, find out these things. PureTech petrol engines. I think they use them on the Opals and that, and the Citroens and Peugeots. Find out when it's got to get done. So if the car is reaching 70 or 80, 90,000 Ks, find out from the agents. The agents should be able to tell you on the cost to replace that thing. Because I don't think everybody's got the technology or the expertise to do it until more people work on them. So
yes,
be careful. I don't want you to go out and buy a car and then you're ending up with a 20,000 Rand service bill the next time. You know, so you want to try and,
because we do ask questions, James. We ask
you
questions. Why is our bill so high? Now it makes sense. I mean, they have to replace, and you can't get it. You can't just go into a sales, a vehicle sales shop. You've now got to get it to the agent, and they've got to order it. And then look at the labor that goes with it. Yeah, so now
labor, I think, is about 1,000 Rand an hour excluding that. But I'll give you a funny story now. The wife took her vol in for a service yesterday. So she showed me the bill. It came to, lucky it's under maintenance plan, it came to 4,000 Rand. A bottle of brake fluid should never have been charged. Antifreeze should never have been charged.
So it's all been charged.
It's been charged. She doesn't have to pay because it's under the maintenance plan. But I looked at this and I'm going, why did brake fluid shouldn't get changed at 45,000 Ks? It's too early. And not only that, when a brake pad wears, the space is filled up by the brake fluid. You know, like I said, I've mentioned
that. But surely they should know that.
No, they're trying. Unfortunately, someone's paying for it. It's not the customer because, like I say, if it's a minor plane, it's planned lekker. But be careful. You can query these things. If it's out of maintenance plan, why did you do this and why did you do that?
Yeah.
You know, it might not be it's $150 or $250 here or there.
Yeah.
It's wrong and it's illegal.
So next when you're back next in 2 weeks' time, maybe we should have a nice detailed topic about what should be.
Well, I'll try and make a list.
It
depends on what I'll do is I'll look up on my maintenance thing and I'll print out one or two different maintenance, what should get done on different vehicles.
So our listeners can be aware when they take it in for these services.
Look, you're going to pay a certain amount for certain things and whatever. But yeah. I just looked at this and I said to the wife, they should never have done this.
Yeah.
Lucky it's a maintenance plan.
Yeah.
But someone's paying for it and it shouldn't be done.
Yes.
So yeah. Someone's committing fraud, yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah, well, there you go.
At the end of the day.
So time has run up for us, James. Can you believe it? Wow. Yeah.
Time flies when you're having fun, eh?
James, don't you want to give out your contact numbers?
08104 08107049 19. I'm trying to remember it again. But yeah, like I say, it's if you've got the frauds, look, do your history. Before you buy the vehicle, if you're going to buy something, just find out. I hate seeing people waste money and think whatever.
Thank you, James. Have a good one. Thank you. And you'll be back in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah. Cheers, everyone.
Bye.